Well, hi there, and welcome to a Monday edition of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. Amazingly enough, the month of May is already now officially over half gone. The last few months and weeks seem to be flying by, but it's always great to have this beautiful hour with you, the Take Two family, to talk about a different topic every day. And you always weigh in with your calls, your emails, your texts, your posts on social media. So we are going to be talking about, I think, something that we will all benefit from, and you may have something to say about today. Hi, Debbie.
Hello, Jerry. My eyes almost popped out of my head when you said we're halfway done with May. Is this year flying by or what?
It is.
Isn't it? It's unbelievable. Is it because we're getting older? My mother used to always say, as you get older. No, she used to say this all the time. As you get older, just time is just literally flies by.
I think that's got to be part of it. Definitely.
Oh, we're getting there. Okay. So we want to talk today about the Christian virtue of detachment. We're asking the question today, do you have like any unhealthy attachments to things or even people? It really takes it to another level where it's that you're very dependent on those things or even those people. And it's really an unhealthy way to conduct your spiritual life. So think about it, because detachment as Christians, we are supposed to be, traveling in this world, pilgrims on a journey, but not to be attached to this world, right? Because our home is in union with God, right? So detachment, that Christian virtue, is something that needs to be practiced. A lot of saints talked about it. And we want to ask the question today, do you have any unhealthy attachments to things or to even people? We want to know, what is behind that? What are you doing about it? Have you gone on for any, deeper reflection on it, and maybe some help or spiritual direction? It's very, very interesting question. Detachment is a big word, but it's a word that we as Christians need to understand, I think, and really dive into, because it's important for us. It frees us. And you're going to talk a little bit, Jerry, about your own personal, what's going on in your personal life that you shared before we came on air. You were sharing with Ace and I about purging things and how that is so freeing. So maybe you should share that.
Well, first we want to get those phones going, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. If you'd like to weigh in on this conversation about detachment and having stuff in our lives, do you find that you look around the house and the garage? Maybe you've got a storage unit down the street. Do you have a little trouble, with being a little too attached to things or maybe even to people? So please join us today. This isn't a blame yourself and make yourself look horrible moment. This is like we can learn something, and maybe you'll come away with some good practices about how to be a little less detached to things and people. So the number is 833-288-3986. And yes, I know, Debbie, you've said on the show many times, you started out this year, you want to do, how do you say it?
Be a minimalist.
Minimalist. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I didn't start the year that way, but for whatever reason, just in the last few weeks, I have been looking around, in my room and my office and the garage, and I thought, a lot of this stuff, what do they say, if you haven't touched a thing in 6 months or a year, you might want to get rid of it, Right. So I've looked at a lot of things, and so today is trash day here at my house, and the trash can is full of some things that I just no longer want, and then I donate stuff to thrift stores and things like that. So it just, as we were talking, you said you and Ace and I were talking before the show, and it just feels good. It feels really good to be a little less bogged down by the stuff in our lives.
Would you say it's freeing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very freeing. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's hard, because as we go through life, we have things and we say, well, I'm going to need this sometime. I'm going to wear this sometime, whatever. And that time maybe never comes. But between the then and now, we collect other things, we have Christmas presents that we're given and birthday presents, and we buy things. So I think there's just a tendency generally, Debbie, and you can comment on this if you want. I think there's a general tendency just to add more stuff rather than subtract. So we need to take these times, these periods in our lives, mm-hmm. and I think, detach.
Absolutely. You know, it's often said we need to be in the world, but not of the world. And part of that is this practicing this virtue of detachment. It's this ability to rise above those things that hold us down, that keep us limited and actually stop or even prevent spiritual growth, right? So let's talk about this detachment. What does it mean for you? Have you ever even explored this idea, this concept of detachment? Or maybe you're going to take a moment or two and you're going to say, well, you know, I have an unhealthy attachment to, I don't know, purses or shoes or, you know, things like that. You know, we can talk about it, but here's the important thing. Jerry's right. We don't want you to out yourself. We don't want you to get, you know, to say, listen, I'm guilty of this. We just want to explore this so we can all walk away with a better understanding of detachment. We can enter into the Christian virtue of detachment and practice together and be a little bit changed, hopefully a little bit closer to God. So please join us on this Monday broadcast of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. You do not have to be Catholic to call in. If you're listening to us, we consider you part of the family. 833-288-3986.
Yeah, and as I mentioned a couple times during this opening segment, your attachment may not be so much to things, like material things, but we have attachments to people as well, and sometimes those can become a little bit unhealthy and kind of stunt our growth maybe in the spiritual life or even in human development, and this can often happen within a family, you know, between a child and a parent, between spouses, it could be between siblings, maybe it's somebody that you work with, maybe there's a codependency of some type that you would like to discuss. Again, this is it's a safe place to call in and talk about these things. Debbie and I are not experts. We're not counselors. We're not therapists. But we live the same lives that you do. And so we have these same things in our lives, these attachments to things and people that we just want to try to maybe move aside and move forward, if I can put it that way.
And you know, one of the life skills principles is we always talk about practice makes permanent. You know, we used to always hear as kids, practice makes perfect, right? It's practice makes permanent. So let's practice the art of detachment, the virtue of detachment. Let's do it together. Call in 833-288-3986.
We are so happy you're with us here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you. It's your show. You got to take it and make it what it always is, a fantastic broadcast because of you, the Take Two family. And today we're talking about being attached to things or to people, maybe a little bit more than we ought to be. Detachment, so very, very important, because we really should long for God alone and material things and people. You know, attachments to people should not, definitely not, hinder our relationship with God. So if you have something to say about this, maybe you've been down this road and you've been successful at, you know, developing just proper attachments, but being detached from some things that were keeping you back a little bit. 833-288-3986. We're going to go to Lisa in just a moment, but I want to tell you first of all that EWTN Religious Catalog has a new item called Christ the Good Shepherd Statue. Okay, Christ the Good Shepherd Statue. Such a sweet statue of Jesus the Good Shepherd. You know, he referred to himself as the Good Shepherd because he watches over his flock and keeps them from harm and evil and leads them to green pastures. And this statue reminds us of his love, showing Christ with his shepherd staff and two sheep, one on his left and one at his feet. Now, this is a hand-painted statue, while the shepherd staff is made of copper at 4.5 inches tall. It will easily fit in most any location. It's available now at EWTNRC.com, where you get free standard shipping for online orders $75 or more in the continental United States only. Use code FREE at checkout when you purchase this Christ the Good Shepherd statue at EWTNRC.com.
There are some open phone lines if you'd like to join us and talk about detachment today, the Christian virtue of detachment. We are supposed to be rise above these things that kind of hold us down spiritually. So please call in. You do not have to be Catholic. We'd love to hear from you. There's only two open phone lines, 833-288-3986. Before we get to Lisa, Jerry, I just wanted to say one of our Take Two family members just weighed in and said, could you have, this is fascinating, this could open up a whole host of calls coming in. Could you have an unhealthy attachment to your pet?
Well, I would say yes, maybe. Yes.
Do you have an unhealthy attachment to Duke?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, Duke kind of runs your house.
Well, he does, yeah. He has an unhealthy attachment to me. That's the point, really.
That's it. Duke's the problem. That's it. Okay. No, he's a good boy. Okay. Lisa is up first. One open phone line. Pick up that last line, please. Lisa in Pennsylvania on Sirius XM 130. Hello, Lisa. Tell us about detachment today.
Hi there. Very nice to speak to you. I have loved clothing and shoes ever since I can remember, and I am now approaching 60, and that has never gone away. I would dress up as a child. I don't know if you remember the show Queen for a Day, and I used to go and get changed and, you know, be in each part of that, you know, I guess. And then, you know, in my living room. And then I think, you know, because we didn't have a lot of money when I was growing up, it was hard for me to fulfill some of those desires that I had. And, you know, then I just, you know, I got older. I was working. I was married. And I have purchased a lot of clothes and shoes. A lot of them don't hold my attention very long. Some do, but a lot of them don't. I spend a lot of time taking care of them and a lot of expense through dry cleaning, you know, ironing, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it eats up time. I do try to give up buying clothing and shoes for Lent. And I also want to comment that in church, I will oftentimes look and see what people are wearing. I don't know.
Right. Okay. So you have an eye for that. I mean, it's probably something, you know, as you said, even as a small child, you developed this, for fashion and things like that. I mean, I think that is really, you know, okay. My question for you, Lisa, is it something you want to free yourself of a bit so that you can make more room for God? Or do you think you have a healthy balance? Because it's okay for us to enjoy beautiful, shiny, bright, clean things. It's okay for us to do that. It's when it fills up our time and our effort, and then we maybe subtly just kind of push God a little bit away because we're making time for these other things. So my question to you is, do you think you have balance with it?
I don't. I think, for example, one of the things I do, and maybe I'm making myself sound a little bit more extreme, I don't mean to.
No, you're
not.
But,
you know, in the morning, I like to look at clothes when I wake up. You know, you should put God first. I should be doing some reading, some, you know, things like that. But that's kind of how I wake up over my coffee, you know, is looking at clothes. And then secondly, when I do purge my clothes, and I do that, it makes me actually nauseous.
Right.
To think about, like, wasted money and, you know, just like, this isn't right. This is more than I want it to be. And it's not that I'm out of my income level and doing it or getting into trouble like that. It's just I want to make more time and maybe find some way to use this piece of me that I have for good.
Yeah. Well, may I, okay, here, if you're open to a couple of suggestions, because Jerry and I are both life coaches, so we work with people all the time who want to practice detachment. And like I shared at the beginning of the show, you may have been talking to Matt Gubinsky, so maybe you didn't hear it. One of the principles in life coaching is practice makes permanent. So you want to practice a new habit, a new behavior. Okay, you want to practice it so it becomes permanent in your life. And less is more. Lisa, less is more. Don't you see, you said it makes you nauseous and things like that. This has been a lifetime for you, okay? And so if you make these radical shifts or radical changes, it can really be upsetting to the spirit. So you make these slow movements, okay, where it develops new habits in you, and you look at things from a different angle. So, like a little suggestion, I know you when you wake up in the morning, you're thinking about clothes. Okay, so then what you want to do then, if you want to shift it a little bit, you wake up in the morning and you say one quick prayer and then look at clothes. Okay. All right. So you get that in there just so you kind of shift the brain a little so that you change the pattern. And then you find a way to make the beautiful clothes and the beautiful accessories you have in your home, make it work for you instead of against you. So what I mean by that is maybe you could bless somebody else with those fine things that you have that maybe you're not wearing or using. Okay. And look at it like a ministry. So if you kind of trick the brain, it allows the emotion to not be so attached to the articles. I remember one time Oprah Winfrey, God love her, she used to stumble upon these aha moments, she used to call them, and she used to have a trouble getting rid of clothes and stuff, and somebody held up something in front of her and they said, when was the last time you wore this? And she goes, I don't know, 10 years ago, but I'm going to fit into it again. And they said, 10 years ago, get rid of it. And she needed that to kind of jolt her out of the habit of it. And so, I mean, I think it's something that we can all practice. You're not alone, Lisa. I think all of us have that in some way, shape, or form. And I don't know if any of what I said helped, but it's there's principles that really do work. What do you think?
Yes, it did help me. Thank you. I like the idea of starting slowly and considering it a ministry. And while I do give away clothes when I do purge them, I want to look at it in terms more as a ministry as opposed to, you know, purging, like a way to honor God.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with everything that Debbie said, Lisa. Just a couple thoughts come to my mind. One, as Debbie suggested, you know, say a little bit, a short prayer before looking at the clothes. Make that a prayer of gratitude for the clothes that you do have and the gifts that God has given you in the ability to have those things. So make sure you include gratitude in that prayer. And what has helped me at times in my life, I don't presently do it, but I sometimes have made a daily schedule that I want to go by. And I would just put, you know, prayer first, whether it's 5, 10, 15 minutes before I shower, before I have breakfast or whatever. So maybe a bit of a daily schedule and develop the discipline to stay with that. And who knows, before long, you know, you could have a completely different perspective on all of this.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, thank you very much. I do think this has been helpful and some good steps to put me on a better path.
Awesome.
Keep us posted. We like to journey with all the Take Two family. So you can always email us at take2@ewtn.com. Okay, Lisa?
Thank you.
Thank you.
That'll open up a phone line here, talking about being a little too attached to people or things, talking about detachment today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie at 833-288-3986. We're going to go next to Atlanta, where James is listening to us on Sirius XM 130. Hello, James. Glad you called.
Hello. Thank you. So my question, this will open up a can of worms, is that I don't drink alcohol Monday through Friday during the week, but when I'm at home and only home on the weekends, sometimes I'll have a few beers. So I looked in the catechism as to what is the definition of drunkenness, and it really didn't have a definition. It said something about don't drink and drive, and I don't drink and drive. I'm just at my house having some beers. So this isn't just for me, but I'm wondering what y'all's opinion is how many is two beers? How many is too many?
Well, yeah, I don't know if the catechism wouldn't be able to address that because everybody is different. I mean, if you've got somebody, James, who's, you know, 115 pounds, maybe the second beer is going to be all that individual can handle versus somebody who's, you know, 200 pounds and a big strapping guy might be able to handle a few more. But I know morally, the church would simply say you have to establish what your limit is based on, you know, how it is impacting your ability to reason and act. And if you're losing your judgment, you know, your better judgment and so forth. How many people make bad decisions when they've had too much to drink? I applaud you, James. That is fantastic that you don't drink during the week. You don't sound like somebody who's just, you know, going all out on the weekends. You know, hey, I don't do this during the week, so I'm going to have a case and a half every night on the weekend. You don't sound like that type of person, but you just have to really know yourself. It's going to be really more of a subjective thing than objective, Debbie. I don't know if you have any thoughts.
Well, just a couple things, James. If it's any type of binge drinking on the weekends, because it sounds like you don't drink during the week, and then on the weekend you kind of have a couple drinks or whatever. Binge drinking is not good for the body at all. It's really, in fact, we should do a show on it, because college kids that binge drink on the weekends, it's very dangerous. It harms the major organs. It's just not good for the body. It dehydrates the body. It's just really hard on the brain. It's hard on the organs. But I agree with Jerry. What I think you need to look at the surroundings. If you're having a few drinks and it's in balance, and you're at home and you're not impacting other people, or you're not interacting with anyone or driving or anything like that, that's one thing. But if you're interacting or having any kind of relation, you know, if you have a relationship at home with anyone, and by you being impaired somehow by drinking, if that's not glorifying God, if that's not something that is going to be pleasing to God, I would say you need to cut back a little. Do you see? So everything has to be, even the wedding feast of Cana, there was mystics that wrote books about the wedding feast of Cana. And these mystics, now these are private revelations, they were saying that Jesus said, they asked Jesus at the wedding feast, you know, how much can we drink? And he said, basically, as long as you are glorifying God the Father, as long as you're glorifying God. So if it somehow goes back to something that is pleasing to God, then it may be okay. If not, I would say cut back. What do you think?
That sounds like a good idea. Thank you.
Okay. Happy that you called into the program, James. Feel free to call anytime at 833-288-3986. Let's go to Ron in Los Angeles, our friend Ron listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Ron. Take it away.
Good morning, you two.
How do you know?
Glad I made it on the air this time around.
Yeah, right. So are we.
I have to admit that I'm one that I grew up in a broken home, and I had to deal with a lot of dysfunction and so on. And I found that, as I look back at 61, that many of the things that I had attachments to were the substitutions to something that I did not have, and it took physical things to kind of compensate for it, or maybe medicate from, to, you know, deal with the pain and the sorrow or any other sort of thing. And unfortunately, there have probably been a few items that I've been introduced to my life that gave me a lot of grief most of my life, that became addictions and habits that have just been horrendous to try to deal with, broken relationships that it caused and so forth. But on the whole, as I've grown in my faith, and I'm still going to be, the line was, I'm still the greatest sinner out there. No matter what I'm going through and the physical stuff that I've had to deal with the last 10 years, it's been a struggle to not get attached to persons, places, or things.
Tell you what, Ron, hold that thought right there. You have really hit on something super important, and we're so glad that you got through and got on the air here on today's program. So hold on there, Ron in Los Angeles. We're going to get right back to you. And we have Renee on the line in Houston, and Michael in New Jersey, Molly in Buffalo. Our hearts, our prayers, our tears are with everybody in Buffalo right now. And that other shooting that took place at the church in where that was in California, yeah. Mm-hmm. Prayer, many mm-hmm. prayers. So Ron, hang on, and the rest of you, we're going to get you on today's program talking about detachment on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Thanks for being with us today. Take two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. Ace McKay, our producer, is on the controls. Jeff Burson is watching out for your comments on social media. Matt Gabensky screening your calls. And we are visiting with Ron in Los Angeles. Ron, you've made some great points, and I didn't mean to kind of cut you short there. So if you wanted to continue a thought, feel free.
I'm trying to figure out where I was at the moment. But basically, I think I was at the point of many of the addictions and substitutions or attractions to persons, places, or things, the attachments were basically the substitutions or even pacifiers, if you want to call it that, to the realities that weren't there or things that were neglected. And sometimes, if probably not the main concern, of not knowing the reality of who God is and who I am to God. And so in my particular case, I dealt with a family abuse that had drugs and alcohol to some degree. There was pornography introduced in my life at a very young age, which has been a bitter, bitter pill to have to deal with for a lifetime. And it's awkward that when I finally realized what these things were doing to me, and you know, you hear terms like shopping therapy, it's all part of the addiction and the substitutions. And so when you go through life and you start clinging to things that you think are going to help you through a particular situation, the next thing you know, you become addicted to it, and then it becomes a problem on its own.
Yeah, Ron, again, great points. And, you know, Debbie and I and Ace, our producer, were talking off the air during the break, and we all seem to kind of get the same insight with regard to what you're talking about, or the same example, and that would be Linus, you know, in Charlie Brown. You know, he has that. We're all looking for security. When we have things done to us or we make bad choices or whatever, what we want more than anything is security. And our security ultimately is found in God. But God, you know, God is invisible, so to speak. He is in Jesus. But these other things are visible. They're tangible. We can touch them. We can hold on to them. We can use them. And so I think you're right. Substitution for losses and pains and wounds and things is a very critical thing that we have to examine. Debbie?
Well, bring up what Ace said about the Christmas special. I thought that was fascinating, what Ace shared.
Yeah, well, he said, of all of the Charlie Brown TV episodes, the only one where Linus is not holding his blanket is when he's coming on stage for a Christmas special, and he actually drops the blanket before he comes out on stage to give glory to Jesus or whatever. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the episode right now. Then he walked off stage and picked up the blanket again. So, maybe there's a message. There has to be a message in there somewhere.
There has to be a message there. Yeah. And Ron, I am so glad you called in and you shared from your heart, because I was hoping we would cover this angle of what happens to all of us. Because what Jerry shared was spot on. And then what Ace added about Linus is so true. And, we want that security. We want that safety. We want to feel better, right? We want to feel whole. And, you know, St. Augustine, our hearts are restless until they rest in you. And it's so true. And we fill that void, we fill that hurt with something that we think is going to bring us some kind of joy, right? But it's fleeting. And we know that those attachments end up become addictions or become problems. And then we go on to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And we're always searching. I think for me anyway, Ron, this is how I've dealt with sadness and sorrow and betrayal and hurt in my past, is I try really hard to dive deeper with God. Each time something bad happens, I try really hard to just go to the deep end of the pool and dive in, because I find that is the only place with that connection with God, the angels and the saints, that I find an interior peace and an interior joy. The other things, they do bring me some kind of like surface happiness, but it's fleeting. It really is. And it's problematic. And you nailed it. And I hope that others are listening right now and they maybe hear your testimony, hear our, words about this, and maybe they'll think about just going deeper with God. What do you think, Ron?
Definitely. And jokingly, I say I'm 61 going on 16, because there are times when my groping, my attachments have retarded some of my mentality in some degree in spiritual growth, if you will. But as I've grown older and I've grown closer to God as best I can, it's difficult to understand my place in the world, sometimes my place in God, depending on what's happening. And pain and other issues can definitely blind us from that. What's more difficult than anything is when attachments become started at a very, very young age. Mm-hmm. And it's because the parents aren't doing what they're supposed to do to love their children. And when they grow up in an abusive situation or by neglect, by not doing what they need to do for their children and telling them I love you and all the appropriate measures, and I do mean the word appropriate because we have a society where there are people who are mentally not stable enough to think properly, and they want to be parents, and they're not helping the children and making it only a perpetual problem. But be that as it may, it's difficult to get through some of the things, but when you get the right people around you, you get enough time to focus and listen to God when you ask the questions, what do you want of me and where do you want me to be with all this stuff? And when it gets painful and other things are happening, you have to ask the question, can you, God, please, please, please help me detach from the things that keep me from you, all these barriers that keep me from you, so that I can grow and love you better.
Beautiful points, Ron, and you're very right. I think we're formed as adults when we're little children, because that's when we are the most formative, the most, I think we soak everything in like a sponge, and those are the things we know and we learn, and we think that's the way that life is, so we carry those into our adulthood. So thank you, Ron, in Los Angeles. Appreciate your call, as always. 833-288-3986.
That was a great call. We needed to hear that, and I think we really learned from Ron's call. Thank you, Ron, again. Okay, we're going to move on to Renee in Houston, Texas, on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hello, Renee. Let's talk about being overly attached. You've got a person you want to talk about.
Yes. I have a daughter. She's turning 30. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I feel like I can't help her. Trying to let her go to do her own stuff. And I feel very compelled to help her because, you know, she has some mental issues. Mm-hmm. And so it's like I can't really let her go, and I feel like I'm going to be 59 in the coming year. And I kind of already retire, but I feel like I can't detach from her. Mm-hmm. And my son always says, you know, you have to let her go and try, let her do her own stuff.
Right.
And try to live your life because, you know, you are in that retirement age already that you should be enjoying yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very hard, and I pray it every day, but it seems like every time she falls, you know, I gotta go and help her, and it's just like I feel guilty for her conditions that she has, because I really don't know if it runs in my family. I know she started with bipolar, and now she was diagnosed with schizophrenia. And I've been struggling with this for like, I don't know, almost 18 years with it.
And
it's my baby. She's my youngest child. I only have two. Sure. I have a boy and a girl.
Okay. Well, Renee, a couple of things. Is she under doctor's care for the schizophrenia?
We that's another thing. I struggle a lot with it. She goes off and on of medicine. Mm-hmm. Like right now, she's been off of medicine for like a year. And then, you know, sometimes she goes back to the hospital, you know, and she gets regulated and then she gets off again and this thing going off and on.
So, you know, at the beginning of the show, Jerry shared that we're not therapists or trained in this area, but we've walked the walk. We've lived a long life. We've seen a lot of things. And so here's just a couple suggestions, just from a sister in Christ. I agree with your son. You're at an age where you should be able to enjoy yourself and not feel that pressure to have to always be there and run at, when things happen. So I always share with people that the best thing we can do for ourselves is create a support system around us. Sometimes we're hesitant to ask for help, but we all need a support system. And if you could enlist like your son and other people to that she can tap and you know, go to, so it doesn't always have to fall on you, because I think that's a lot of pressure to put on you at your age, at your chapter in your life, because you do need to. I mean, God wants you to have life and to have it to the full, which means abundance. To He wants you to enjoy life. He doesn't want you to feel this kind of overwhelming pressure that you have to run every time that, you know, she calls or something happens, or you feel guilty because, you know, as parents, we totally perfect guilt as parents. It's unbelievable. When I have clients all the time in life coaching, so many parents say, I feel guilty about this, I feel guilty about that. I mean, we're constantly saying that. And that's not a good way, that's not a balanced way either to live. So I would suggest first to get a support system around you and try to find some balance on what you can enter into and what you need to step back on. Because, you know, ultimately, your daughter, she's God's. Okay, it sounds like she's, you know, baptized and everything. So, I mean, she's marked for God. Okay, and God, you know, she belongs to God, and we do what we can, but we're not mini saviors. Okay, and we do the best we can within reason and with balance, because otherwise, if we get off balance, we'll get sick. And if we get sick, what happens? It could shorten our life. And that's not what God wants. So we have to always look at it from the bigger picture. You have to kind of step out of the fishbowl, Renee, and kind of look at it from the bigger picture. And you'll see that maybe there's some things that you could adjust to create more balance. What do you think, Jerry?
Well, I couldn't add a single syllable to that, actually. I'm curious to know what you think, Renee.
Yeah, it sounds like a good advice. But I want to throw something out in my son said to me. He said that I should seek help, like counseling or therapy, to help me cope better with it.
Well, you know, Renee, a thought that came to my mind, the program that comes on EWTN Radio right after ours is The Doctor Is In with Dr. Ray Guarendi. He is a licensed clinical psychologist. I don't believe he can actually, analyze people and prescribe, direct advice on his program, but he can certainly give you some ideas about how you might want to go through this situation with your daughter. So if you keep listening to EWTN Radio, again, it's the next hour with Dr. Ray, and I think he would be someone really good for you to talk to, I think. All right, Renee?
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. We'll be praying for this situation.
Yeah. And we always suggest therapy. It's very healthy to talk it out with other people so you can get that bigger, you know, perspective. Okay, Michael is up next, and Michael is waiting so patiently in New Jersey on Sirius XM 130. We're talking detachment today, Michael. Welcome.
Yes. Yes, thank you. I heard the caller talking about pets, and I've been a veterinarian for 50 years, and I've seen a really big change in the way people treat pets in the last 50 years. They were usually families with one or two dogs or one or two cats. Now you're seeing people that have pretty much replaced their family with their pets. And I've had actually clients say, I love my dog more than I love my kids, with their little children in the room. And once I said, no, you don't mean that. And she said, yes, I do. So I've never said that again. But you don't really have to be a very nice person for your pet to like you. So it's very easy just to do what you want to do, be who you want to be, and have a pet love. Jesus told us to love one another because that's for us. It makes us become better people. But I've had some of the worst people on the planet that were wonderful to their dogs. I mean, I've had clients who had dogs that they bathed every day, and when their wife got me alone, she'd say to me, "I can't wait for him to die. He's so terrible to me." Mm. I mean, horrible to say, but just because you're nice to pets does not mean you're being nice. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of the people that are really into that are also, you know, they're anti-God, they're anti-religion, they're pro-abortion. Usually they don't like people. There's too many people, and, you know, it's very sad. I mean, you know, that change has been so pronounced in my career. And it's not even good for the pet, because back in the day, if you saw an animal that really, you know, needed to be put to sleep, needed not to have to go through a lot of suffering, the people were practical, and they had a balanced love in their family, and they would go along with it. Today, it's a whole different story. If I had to spend $10,000 to keep this dog alive for 3 more months, I'll do it at its own expense, because they're not being reasonable, because they've lost direction. That's the one thing. The other point I want to make on detachment is I just reread the first few chapters of Les Miserables by Victor Hugo, and I don't know of a better example of detachment than the bishop in the beginning of Les Miserables, who gives everything away and is actually the whole pivotal point of the story. It's, if you haven't read it, those first few chapters are amazing with detachment.
Fantastic, Michael. Thanks for what you do. I'm sure a lot of families have been very, very blessed by your veterinary work, so and animals, of course, too. So thank you for that. And, you know, you pointed out something that I have long thought in my own mind, and that is there, I think, innate within us is a paternal or maternal instinct. Okay, we were built, we were wired that way by God, and when people, like he said, choose not to have kids or are anti-person or anti-child or pro-abortion or whatever, that instinct is still going to hopefully manifest itself in some way. But in this instance, Debbie, I think it can be through you know, through having pets and, you know, things like that. And he's right; they do give unconditional love. But you know, we hear about, you know, people dying with millions of dollars and they leave the inheritance to their dog or their cat or something. I think that's going a little bit overboard, a little bit too much attachment, I think.
Well, and God commanded us, you know, to love one another, right? And it's really unfortunate when we place pets or even nature over people, right? I know people that actually would rather go on a hike than interact with their family members. Okay, I mean, so something is wrong there. There's something not right. There's something unhealthy there, and it's unfortunate because we are soul to soul connection, community, and we're meant to journey together. We're the body of Christ. Okay, nature is a creation. Okay, the pets are creations of God, but we are the body of Christ. And when we pull ourselves away from the body of Christ, we are doing a disservice. It is not good for ourselves and for those that we interact with. So it really is unfortunate, and it's all about your, like you said earlier, Jerry, about spiritual development, human development. I mean, there's a lot to explore here, but Michael was bringing up I actually just watched it. I just went
blank. Les Miserables.
Yeah, I just watched it the other day. I love that movie. I have it on DVD. I love it.
Nice.
Very powerful.
Yeah, and I think the flip side of this, which really I'm sure goes without saying, is we should never be mean to pets or animals either.
No.
You know,
no.
We are given, since they are creations of God, you know, and unfortunately there are people who do abuse their pets, and it's way beyond my ability to understand or comprehend. So
thank you
again, Michael, for the call.
Thank you,
folks, weeknights, 9 p.m. Eastern time, right here on EWTN Radio and on the television side, it's News Nightly with Tracy Sable for the Catholic News perspective on top stories and reports from around the world. EWTN News Nightly, weeknights, 9 p.m. Eastern Time on EWTN Radio and Television.
Zach weighed in and said, I find that confession helps me deal with unhealthy attachments. Awesome, Zach.
Beautiful.
He said, great show. Thank you, Zach. Confession. That is true. When you just totally get free of sin and you have the healing sacrament of confession, you're absolutely right. You get a clearer vision. Steve in Douglasville, Georgia, Sirius XM 130. Welcome, Steve.
Hello. How you doing?
Doing well, Steve.
Doing well. Thank you.
Okay, listen, I'm calling in. I just want to let you guys know I just happened upon the radio station. I'm traveling. I traveled from Greensville to Atlanta, and you guys were really enlightening to me. That's why I'm making the call.
Oh, thank you. I would
like to say this. I am a widower now. I lost my wife 4 years ago. And the detachment, it was very hard for me to detach, and she was already gone. And I was still attached to her and her being around and talking. So now they say the cliche is being grounded and rooted in the Word of God. God didn't reveal it to me till about 3 months ago, that if you are grounded and rooted in the Word of God, God says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. He never said anything about anybody else leaving. So once I realized, oh, wow, he said he would never leave me, forsake me. He didn't say he would not take anyone else away or everybody else would be there because I wanted him to. So once I realized I will never leave you and I will never forsake you, now if I meet a person, I meet them knowing that, hey, they may not be around forever. I know they ain't going to be around forever. But my connection with God, it is the only relationship in our lives that is will never change and will never go away. And God revealed it to me. And once he revealed it to me, I was able to detach from the love of what I was looking for in my wife, because I started looking around for trying to duplicate it. And you can never, ever replace. Once God gives you something and takes it away, it's gone forever. Until he gives you something new. He won't give you the same thing. He'll give you something new. But you can't look for the same thing from God. I just want to say, if you're out there and you're struggling with the loss of your loved one, just remember, God said he would never leave you. Other people leave. And that's all I wanted to say.
Well, Steve, you have said something very, very profound, and we thank you for calling in. I would just maybe tweak one thing that you said. He says they're gone forever. Well, even though there's no marriage in heaven, you will still be united with your wife in heaven, good Lord willing. And I would just say, you know, there was a great book written by a Catholic bishop by the name of Fulton Sheen. And the title of the book is Three to Get Married. And his whole point is Jesus has to be not only in the center of the marriage, but it has to be the one relationship that each spouse pursues the most, because it's through pursuing that relationship with Christ and growing in holiness that they're going to be the best spouse they can be and have the true, proper, deep love for one another. So you're very, very right. Jesus is the one who said he would never leave us nor forsake us. And maybe, Debbie, I'm sure it's horrible to lose a spouse, painful and all of that. But if Christ has been the center of that relationship and we believe in heaven and the afterlife, then that's got to, hopefully for some people, take a little bit of the sting out of that.
Absolutely. And we're so sorry for your loss, Steve. We placed you in our prayer book, you and your wife. You just dropped off right now because you're driving. So safe traveling. Thank you for calling in. We don't believe in any accidents. So we believe that you called for a reason, and we thank you so very, very much. Wow, we have had some powerful calls today.
Yeah, and there's some social media comments. Jeff Burson is watching the YouTube and Facebook pages of EWTN. And Dottie on Facebook says, my son passed in an auto accident 23 years ago. We're very sorry about that, Dottie. And she says, I can't get rid of his artwork. I only have one set of his clothes. And Debbie, I would say this is not at all unhealthy as an attachment. First of all, artwork, you want to enjoy the beauty of the gifts that God has given, in this case her son. So I would say there's, you know, no issue here with her holding on to his artwork, and she kept one set of his clothes as well. I think that's quite fine.
Yeah. And here's the thing, too, with art, it's so beautiful. You could gift it to others. You could spread it around, especially if there's a lot of art pieces. You know, you could keep a few special pieces and then gift them to others so that your son's art, you know, goes out there in a bigger way, right? It was her son, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm sorry, Joseph. We're not going to get to you and Molly in Buffalo. We are praying for the fine folks in Buffalo. We're so sorry what happened over the weekend and in California and in Texas and in Chicago. There were just a lot of people hurt this weekend, and it's not good, folks. We need to hit our knees in prayer more.
Yeah. We'll be back tomorrow at this same time, a noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific time. We're going to talk about the teachings of the church. Sometimes we grapple with this or that teaching, have a little bit of a struggle with one of them. As I think it was Augustine said, we have faith that seeks understanding. Mm-hmm. So we want to believe, and then we want to try and support that belief with an understanding of church teaching. So that's tomorrow.
That is tomorrow. So until tomorrow, all of us here at the Take Two show team, we want to wish you a beautiful and blessed day. And we ask St. Joseph to please pray for all of us. See you real soon.